Welcome to this week's edition of Exporting Malta, where I, Monique Chambers, am joined by businesses that have sold their product and services overseas. Welcome to this week's edition of Exporting Malta with me, Monique Chambers, and Andy Andre Linus this week of Thought 3D. Yes?
Hi, yes. You got it
so,
right.
We're thinking 3D. Tell us all about Thought 3D and what you do.
Yeah, we're still can be considered a startup company.
Okay.
Though we're 5 years old. I would say first 2 or 3 years we're soul searching.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So what do we do? We are producing water-based adhesives for 3D printing, manufacturers or 3D printing industry worldwide.
Right. So I got a 3D printer for Christmas.
Yeah.
Why would I need it?
Yeah, you see, when you print a plastic object, it sometimes may happen that it will detach from the build
the surface.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we make sure that it stays there while it's printed, and it's easy to remove afterwards, and it's easy to clean afterwards.
So the leaving it overnight to cool down is not it, your product helps with that.
You don't even have to leave it for
that
long.
No, I do, because I'm terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it actually just makes your life much easier, and it's kind of insurance so that when you have 30-hour print, then it doesn't mess up.
Okay, I make buttons, just to put it into perspective. So a 30-hour print.
Yeah.
So you can make really anything with a 3D printer.
Yes, and, especially now.
And now with this, what's it called?
It's called Magigoo.
Magigoo, that's a fantastic name. Okay, Magigoo. Yeah. So that's made me smile. So what, you just put that on the printer bed, I guess you call it, and then you start your printing?
Yeah, it comes in the small bottle that has like a foamy tip on top.
Okay.
And you just like dab first, and then you just spread it on top of the
building. Okay. And so how did you come up with this idea? Because you're actually one of the co-founders of the company as well. So how did you come up with that?
Yeah, funny story. One of the co-founders, Dr. Keith Mario Zapardi, in early days, company was trying to come up with all kind of different products and services. And we were offering 3D printing service ourselves.
Okay.
And a lot of prints had to be babysitted because they would fail along the way. Obviously, it's a lot of time wasted. And Keith being a chemist and also having background in metamaterials, very sciencey stuff. He came up with this own product that he stored in a Nutella jar and was using it for his own use to make sure that the prints finish well.
Okay.
It was just later that we were visited by a Dutch company here in Malta who discovered this product and was very interested, and that led us to actually commercialize it as a standalone product.
And not make it just a different flavor of Nutella, you sort of know.
No. It might be edible because we are priding that it's non-hazardous, but we're not suggesting to eat it.
Okay. So you've been, you manufacture Magigoo here in Malta?
Yeah, everything was developed here in Malta, and we're manufacturing, we're quality controlling, we're packaging, and we're shipping it worldwide.
Okay. And how did you get into the market? Because you must be complete newbies. Like I said, you did 3D printing. I'm assuming that was for just people in Malta. And then suddenly to be, you know, a product manufacturer and then exporting, that's a big leap.
Well, we actually did, we missed the Malta part.
Okay.
It was quite obvious that there are not many 3D printers in this market, in small island. It was very clear that the 3D printing industry itself is still very early, so we have to actually go out there and basically turn every stone to find enough clients to make a viable business out of this.
Okay, and that's one of your jobs. Your business development is one of the hats you wear.
Yes.
Okay. And how do you go about doing that? So how do you find people that need Magigoo?
We started off with, Magical or Thought 3D's recipient of Takeoff Seed Fund Award.
Okay.
And that money was used to go to the first trade show, which was in Birmingham in United Kingdom.
So that's a 3D printing show? So
this is one of the, that time it was one of the biggest 3D printing shows in Europe or even worldwide. And the first Magical version was launched there, and it was immediately clear that it would have a very good customer feedback and traction. Because printer manufacturers who were exhibiting there had failed prints in their demo booths.
Whoa.
And they were actually stepping by and getting some of the samples just to make it work.
So now what happens? Do you still go to exhibitions? Are there, like you alluded to the fact that there are other exhibitions now and other bigger ones?
Yeah.
Do you do that a lot?
So today we're present in 30 countries.
Wow, okay.
And sold in 70 partners, resellers. Mm-hmm. Mostly covering, I think, almost all continents. So, and trade shows are a tool for us to go and see new clients, basically, but also to meet the older ones, because everyone gets together. It's a tight-knit community.
Uh-huh.
And it's a good time to actually catch up, to see what's going on, and to see face-to-face, because usually you're just either emailing or calling.
Yeah, and you do need to press the flesh sometimes and just, you know, hang out, have a beer.
Yes.
Sort of talk properly and play with 3D printers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then how did you start actually selling? Do you sell to the consumer or do you sell to the 3D printer manufacturer?
Yeah. We thought that end customer or end user would be our initial target, but it was quite hard to find them with a very small team that we are. Right, we're five people today, and we started actually three.
Okay.
And just imagine you would have maybe a million printers around the world, and they're scattered around all over the world. So to find these people in different US states or in Australia is really, really hard because, they're just hiding somewhere in the basement and printing, you know? So it was much easier to actually go business to business.
Okay.
So find the online stores who are specifically selling 3D printers and provide services and then selling accessories as well. So it was, first of all, it was a big challenge to convince them to actually store it. But with each client, and also positive feedback, we were stronger and stronger, and then people were taking it up.
Okay. So is there, you're talking about storing, this is obviously a chemical.
Yeah.
Is it complex then, because you're shipping out of, you know, Malta, so everything obviously has to be shipped.
Yeah.
Is it complex? Are all countries created equal in terms of what you can ship and where you can ship and how you can ship? You know, can you ship one pot of Magigoo or do you have to ship lots of Magigoo? And then does that make a difference?
Well, we do have online store and we're shipping single units, but this is mostly to users who don't have any reseller in their region, right? So they're ready to pay premium, but just to get the product. But otherwise, we usually have minimum quantities that resellers can purchase, basically. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to make it reasonable so that they don't have to overstock, because if they're sitting on too much of the product, it's also they're not that motivated or they get frustrated. So we need to keep everyone happy.
And just keep the supply going.
Yes.
But in terms of shipping it, because it's a chemical, are there any, you know, restrictions to going to the States or going to Italy or Germany or whatever?
Yeah. So usually, yes. There's things called like hazmat materials, and you have to abide by different laws, which are different in different countries.
Okay.
They are trying to make these laws somewhat reflect each other, so it's easier to get by. But how we try to circumvent is to keep the our products very environmentally friendly and non-hazardous. So we're using actually chemicals that don't go into that hazmat classification.
Okay.
With this, it's one of our competitive edge as well, because it's much easier to ship. Plus, even now, there are 3D printer manufacturers who are putting our glue already in the box of the printer.
That's cool.
And shipping it with that. Uh-huh. And they're doing that specifically because our glue doesn't have any restrictions.
Ah, yeah. So they can actually ship out their printers to whoever without having to worry about, you know, the chemical.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Because most of the stuff that you, I've been reading, obviously, with my new toy, the coil that you call it, the actual filament that you you print, most of that is actually biodegradable as well. So it's supposedly good for the, not good for the environment, but not bad for the environment, I would guess.
Well, these materials, there are so many different materials.
Okay.
You're completely right. There are biodegradable ones. But the most focus today is on engineering materials.
Okay.
Where 3D printing is more going, finding more use in industrial use cases.
Okay. Like factory type things.
Factory type things like Ford or, different aerospace companies. And they're trying to obviously mimic materials that they use in manufacturing today, which are inject molded plastics. And these materials are really hard to 3D print because they are very strong, but also very moody to print.
Ah.
And there, our glues are even more important to use.
Because I'm guessing there'll be some fine parts as well. So when you're lifting it from, you know, its bed, you don't want to be able to, you don't want anything to snap or anything. You want it to come off in one piece.
Yes. But the problem, the magnitude of a problem is also just economical. When commonly used plastics would cost you 20 euros per 1 kilogram, then highly engineering ones are from 200 to even 1,000 per kilogram.
Okay. So, yeah, you don't want to throw that in the bin.
Exactly.
Maybe, no matter how environmentally friendly is or isn't. So have you not considered, let me go back one, sorry. Where's your biggest market then for Magigoo? Is that either country-wise, which country do you ship most to?
So region-wise, it's Europe.
Okay.
And country-wise, I wouldn't know exactly. I would assume it's Germany.
Is that because of the manufacturing aspect of it as well?
Well, 3D printing is very well developed there. They're very active in adopting this technology, and they're quite adventurous in applying new
stuff.
Technologies.
Yeah.
But US has really, really big potential, or North America in that fact. This is the second biggest market for us. And then Asia is growing very, very fast and just trying to catch up.
And have you considered, or is it one of the things to do to sort of get around the, you know, the shipping and the logistics and the, you know, hazmat and all of that stuff and chaos, to actually manufacture overseas, or are you going to keep it a Maltese made product for the foreseeable future?
Good question. We have doubled around with that idea to outsource it. I mean, we have had even big chemical companies interested in licensing the product.
Okay. Then you could all retire, no?
Yeah, that would be a dream, of course. But it's not that easy all the time because this product is very specific and the production methods have been developed in-house. So they're custom-made. So it's not that easy to just, take these machines and just make it, mix it. And because, you know, you have to know very detailed things. And quality controlling it is not that easy as well. So it's quite complex to do it. But we've managed to find very lean processes, at least for ourselves.
For now. And no danger of anyone else 3D printing their own machines to copy your formula and your process.
Everything is possible to copy. But I would say it would be probably more costly for them to reverse engineer it than the value
they
that
would
they
make.
Get out of it. It's still a small portion of revenue for us.
So what are the challenges you find being a Malta-based company, shipping out to places like Germany and the States? How seriously do they take you when you say, hey, we've got this like magical product that no one's ever invented before? How do they take that?
Yeah, it's I usually compare that to an individual, you know, like company is an mm-hmm. individual, and a startup especially is like student who graduates and
okay.
and your how to say your CV is how people judge you, right? And as a startup,
yeah.
you don't have much of history or background. Mm. So it can work in both ways. So one, if you're a good networker, you can actually show much bigger than you are because they don't know exactly what's going on in Malta.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side, you still have to prove with your product or with your actions, right, that you're worthy of it. It's a very slow and long process,
mm-hmm.
And it's just building up trust very slowly, basically.
And attending these events, being part of the EU, you think is a strength for us in that sense?
Yes, definitely. It makes so much easier to actually ship around Europe, at least. We don't have to, well, apart from just having some documents translated to all European languages,
uh-huh. yeah.
it's quite easy to ship still. I mean, it's one common space and common customs uh-huh. union, basically, so you don't have to do all the customs things.
So how do you ship? Do you ship by ship or do you ship by plane, or does it just, it varies where it's going? And
it's mostly air freighted
okay.
At the moment. Ship-wise, I wouldn't say that there are container load of orders yet, so it doesn't make sense because it would take quite a long time.
Yeah.
And this is quite fast-moving product, so air freighting is it makes sense much better.
Because it's a fluid, so is it quite heavy when you...
It probably the cost of shipping it around the world would be maybe 5 to 10% of the product value.
Okay.
So it's not that bad.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, people ship wine, so frankly,
yeah.
You know, if you want it, you'll ship it.
Yeah.
You'll get it there.
Funnily enough, Amazon is buying directly from us and
okay.
air freighting it to US as well. So.
Yeah. That's handy as well. So then you have lots of little suppliers to deal with if you can get those bigger deals.
Yeah.
Sort
yeah.
of cuts yeah. out some yeah. hassle and logistics
yes.
for you.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So what sort of next? Obviously, you're looking for more and more manufacturers to put it in their boxes. Is that the main thing that's the biggest selling point? Or is it more the industrial side? Have you got a focus or is it...
Yeah, it's a good question. It's very hard to put this focus into one single, action point for
okay.
us. So... the industry is still very early and developing very fast, so we have to see where the trends go. It
okay.
seems that the trends are going for industrial use cases. More and more printers are getting more reliable.
How annoying.
More professional. but reliable in the terms of mechanics, so how
okay.
precise
okay.
is the object you print, mm. right? It's still... We believe, at least, it's still required that you use adhesive or some sort of substitute to keep the print in,
right.
in place.
Okay. And so industry would be a great one and then obviously, again, would help with shipping and things.
Yeah.
Do you get any help from any local agencies like Trade Malta or anybody like that that sort of... Because it's a huge job you've got.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I would say we're like poster child of multi-startups in a sense of... From getting Takeoff Seed Fund Award, then we've been helped a lot by Malta Enterprise in
mm-hmm.
general through various different grants for startups or for feasibility studies of new products that
okay.
we're developing. And then Trade Malta was definitely helping us in the beginning, but now... Because we need much more flexibility and very fast decisions, we usually tend to go with just our own resources.
Okay. And like this, empty the piggy bank to fund, because those exhibitions can cost some serious money if they're, you know, building a stand, turning
yes,
up X
yes.
people out of the office, you know,
yes.
a beer account. You know.
We had to be very creative from this point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we did one or two trade shows where we paid fully. Since then we've found other ways how to save
okay, uh-huh.
a lot. So for instance, we would travel ourselves, but we would have partners present our products
okay.
for free. It's just cost of shipping some of the samples, some of the flyers.
Uh-huh.
They would be exhibited. And it's even a multiplier because you would you could have like 5 or even 10 partners presenting at one trade show. So the visitors of the trade show would keep seeing Majigu everywhere. And then we would use the time not to stand at the booth, but actually going around and to speak with all the different trade show exhibitors who are actually our clients.
Ah, okay. Very smart.
More interested in them than even in just the visitors of the trade show.
And the way that you said partnering with partners, you get their audience as well. So you're not just trying to wave your own Majigul flag. You've got all of their customers going to them because they trust them and know them.
And
then they get introduced to you as a trusted partner.
Yes.
Sort of like, say, multiplier effect straight away.
Yes. But it works only once we have their trust, right? Yes. So it has taken us 2 to 3 years to get there.
Yeah. And do people move around quite a lot in this industry? Do they go from one manufacturer to the other, or do people stay stuck in the same place? Oh. Love my job. Do they move around so then they can introduce you to new companies, or generally they stay in the same places?
I think it's different for different companies. Many of them would have different kind of printers. Many of them are still trying out different materials.
Okay.
So it's not there. Maybe there are some companies who are just like, I purchase only IBM, so it's like maybe Ultimaker of the 3D printer world then.
Right.
But otherwise, I think people are quite adventurous still and trying to figure out how to best utilize this technology.
Where the most fun is going to be.
Because
there's a site called Thingiverse. I've only just starting. So I, you know, go on there and see all the things you can make. It's quite impressive, actually.
Yeah.
I think 3D printing needs more PR, basically, you know, in general, just for the home user more than anything. Because the stuff you can do. I printed a new mug holder for my car.
Oh,
I was really excited because buying it take ages to ship and whatever, and I managed to print it, you know, in an evening. And
and you can customize. You can write your name there.
I'm not quite good that good enough yet, but one day I'll get there. Maybe I'll ask you for some lessons after. What do you think has been your biggest challenge as this now 5-man band, or is your biggest challenge today? With your product, getting it out there, or is it what comes next? What packaging size next? What's your?
As a company, we need to keep growing. If you don't grow, you're dead in the waters, right? So it's still quite easy to grow with just selling glues, because the industry is growing 25% per year at least, and I would say we're outgrowing that pace. But then it's just the glue, right? So you use one pen of the glue is quite premium price. It's like 15 euros.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sell a lot of thousands of these pens to make enough revenue, right? With very good access to all these partners, from printer manufacturers to material manufacturers to resellers, we have very close contacts to the whole industry, and we're seeing where the trends are going and where are still some gaps to be filled. And our team is very good in coming up with new products. So now the next shift for us is to come up with hardware products for the industry.
Okay.
Obviously, again, we don't know anything about how to manufacture a hardware product. We have never done it. We're doing it as a startup philosophy, basically learning from scratch. Probably it has good sides and bad sides, because we're not thinking conventionally, so we can maybe cut some corners and come up with even more innovative stuff, because no one told us that you cannot do it.
So you're just going to try it. Yeah.
So we're just going to try and we'll just make it. And that would allow us to grow 5 times quicker than today.
Because obviously the profit margin on the new product would be better than...
So what we're coming up with is how to dry filament, so that same plastic, because some of the plastic would soak up the environmental water and things
snaps,
like this.
It snaps, doesn't it, or something. It doesn't really go through very...
Yeah, it would nicely. Just... start bubbling because you're heating it up so drastically, and these bubbles will just make it more fragile, right? So, and people are needing to spend hours, like almost 10 to 20 hours, be forced to start to print, and we're coming up with a product that would bring it down to 20 minutes.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, and then that would allow us to ask something around 800 euros per product. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's very lucrative to sell that type of product.
Yes, better. But no, because it must be very frustrating when you're printing something and this kind of stuff happens.
Yes.
You know, the bubbling, and you end up with, a product that you can't finish with, or, it destabilizes or even looks ugly.
The 3D printer is more used now in end products as well.
Okay.
So end use parts, and there it's very important that the object is strong and it has the full features of the material itself. So you want to do everything possible to make sure that it comes out great.
And so what lessons would you pass on to somebody, not to create, obviously a competing product, but if there's somebody out there that thinks that they've got an almost impossible idea, what are your sort of tips for them to get going to create this thing, not thinking about Malta if Malta's not the market?
Well, our learning points are probably, first of all, we created a product that was actually solving a real problem, and we had that problem firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
And it was confirmed by one of the clients that showed the first interest, right? Secondly, not to be afraid of going out there immediately, because it's just learning by doing, basically. Obviously, we made our own mistakes, and we weren't afraid of our mistakes, basically. I think that's it. It's just do it.
Network, network, network. Go to the shows.
Yeah.
However you can get to the shows.
Yeah. And don't give up, because a lot of our clients were came back 2 years ago or 2 years later after we started chatting with them. They just kept following and seeing, and then trusted us along the way.
And they'll just probably see how everyone else is using it, what your reviews are like, that no one else has come up with anything since. So you really are sitting on a magical product.
Yes.
Well, it's been really interesting talking to you. I love the name. Sorry, Magigu. so it's Andy André Linas from Thought 3D. Thank you very much for joining me, Monique Chambers, this week on Exporting Malta. Thank you for listening to this week's edition of Exporting Malta, produced by me, Monique Chambers, with technical assistance from Carmelo Grech and Redent Abdillah. This show is aired every Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. and repeated on Fridays at 7:30 p.m. here on Campus FM.